Morning. Today's Daven Baba Basra is Chaf Vav. We start today on the Mishnah Chaf Hem and Beis. We are at the towards the bottom of the Amud. Marchikin Esailan. It's a Mishnah that we've heard already a number of times throughout the course of Baba Basra. Even though we're only a fraction of the way through the Masechta, we're approaching the end of the second perek. But still, within the second perek has been self-contained in terms of the topic of discussion, and that is neighboring a border, and basically how much safe distance we need to keep from one another. So the Mishnah tells us a halacha regarding two private properties that are next to one another, and someone's planting a tree. The problem, of course, with a tree is that it has its roots go into the ground, and they don't just grow vertically down into the ground, but they grow horizontally as well, across into the other neighbor's property. So marchikin ha'ilam minaborasim v'chameshama. So what's the safe distance between my tree and your pit? So it's got to be 25 amas. Of v'chur v'shikma chamishim ama, and if it's a chur v'shikma, which is a more aggressive tree, it has longer roots, so 50 amas. So we're talking now about a safe distance between my tree and your board of that of 25 to 50 amas, depending on the type of the tree. And the Mishnah also adds bein malamala bein menatzad. Now, it does not matter whether what the height of what the elevation of the lands are. Meaning, if my land is higher than yours, if your land is higher than mine, it doesn't matter. Meaning, we have to keep a safe distance from one another. And that means that once you have a pit laid down, and I have a tree, and I planted it within I planted within my property, I have to keep it at a safe distance from your pit. Obviously, when we talk about a pit over here, we mean a pit filled with water. And what's going to happen is that my tree is going to find your pit, and it's going to find your water. And so the Mishnah says that's the purpose of the safe distances. Now, imabor kadma kot states v'nosin damim. Now, if the pit was there first, so then you cut the tree down. But here comes an interesting line of the Mishnah: v'nosin damim. But he is going to get a reimbursement for the tree. Now that's an interesting line of the Mishnah, because why should he get a reimbursement for the tree? Meaning the pit was there first. And if the pit was there first and he didn't plant the tree within the appropriate safe distances, so then why should he get a reimbursement? So Rashi over here is clearly bothered by this. Last Rashi in the Mishnah writes, I'm reading the Rashi, V'nosin damim, Dekevim deberishus nata she'enu mazik adzman gadol. So he planted the tree with permission. And that, again, that's an interesting line of Rashi, because the pit was there before the tree. So what does that mean with permission? But, again, what you get the sense from Rashi is that he's not called a mazik adzman gadol. Meaning, basically, what Rashi is applying over here is the principles of gerama. Meaning that I'm not doing the damage immediately. When I planted the tree, the damage is coming years from now. Right? Or whatever. In other words, a long time from now. In other words, when the roots finally end up in your property and attacking your pit. So atzman gadol lo chayvu chachamim lakotz below damim b'shvil hazek diachid. So therefore, I'm not expected to just simply cut down my tree without getting any reimbursement. So just as something to think about from the Mishnah is this idea that I shouldn't have planted the tree so close to your pit. I did so. It's not really, we're not going to call this hezek b'yadayim. It's not real damages. But at the same time, I violated the rules of the Mishnah and Baba Basra in the second perek, and therefore my tree's going to cut down, but I'm still going to get a reimbursement. Presumably, yeah.
Let's say it takes 10 years for the roots to get to the boil. Yeah. So you could say, you know what? I'll cut it
right.
9 years.
Right.
You want me to cut it now? Pay me.
All right. Right. And a chenami. It could be. Vim ilan cut him lo yikots. Now, if the tree was there first, so then you don't cut down the tree. Now you're totally in the right. Meaning you planted a tree and there was no pit at the time, so then you're perfectly fine. Suffix ze cut him lo yikots. So, and if it's a suffix, so then we're not going to cut down the tree. As opposed to the case that we described earlier where it was my tree against the city. So my tree against the city, my tree's going to lose. Right? My tree is going to get cut down. That's what we saw previously. But over here, it's two private properties, one against another. And it could very well be that my tree was there before your pit. We don't know. So because of a suffix, because we don't know, so you're not going to have me cut down my tree. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now again, another major theme that we just keep hitting again and again, the second paragraph of Bava Basra, is the machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says, and probably this Mishnah says it the most clear in terms of what is Rabbi Yossi Shita, Afa Pisha Aborka Demas Le'ilan, I can have the pick being put down before the tree. Lo Yikots, the tree is simply not going to get cut down. Shezech Ofer Besoch Shalom, Vezenote Besoch Shalom. Because you're digging a hole in your property, I'm planting a tree on my property, everything that's done is done on our respective properties, and I can do what I'd like on my respective properties. Now, yes, it's true that I understand that the roots of my tree are going to grow and eventually are going to go into your property, but right now I have the legitimate right to plant a tree within my property. It's my tree and it's my property, and I can do what I want with it. So again, this Mishnah probably says it the most clear, the Shita of Rav Yossi, which is basically, you know, property, people's rights to own property and do what they want on their own property. Tana, the way the Gemara phrases it earlier is Alamazik laharchikas asma alanizik laharchikas asma. Who's really responsible to be cautious in terms of neighboring properties? Is it the aggressor or is it the victim? Right, the victim over here is a strong word. It's not really a good way to describe the other person. Right, the one being damaged. Right, that's the great. So this is not your classic nezik like we discussed back in Baba Kama. This is just simply, I have my property, you have your property, and who has to distance themselves? So the Chachamim consistently have said it's the Mazik's responsibility to distance himself. And Rav Yossi has consistently said, and this Mishnah says it the clearest, no, it's the Nizak. We are in the Gemara on the bottom of Chaf Hamud Beis, Tana. The Gemara quotes the Brisa, Ben Shabor Lamata V'Ilan Lamala, Ben Shabor Lamala V'Ilan Lamata. In terms of elevation, so the Mishnah made a comment that it doesn't matter, and the Brisa over here just clarifies, and the Brisa says it really doesn't matter. Meaning it doesn't matter whose property is higher than whose property. Now, Bishlama Bor Lamata V'Ilan Lamala, Kazlin Hashar Shav Maskele Labor. So the Gemara says, now let's think this through. If the tree is on a higher elevation, If the tree's on a higher elevation and the pit's on a lower elevation, so then I totally understand. The roots are going to basically follow the path of the ground, and it's basically going to descend into your property and go right into your pit. And that's damaging, and I get that. But if we have two different elevations of property, and my property with the pit is on a higher elevation, and your property with the tree is on a lower elevation, so the roots may go laterally, they may go horizontally, but my roots are not going to go up. So then the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So what really becomes the issue? So I'm Rabbi Chana. Thank you. Yeah. I was contemplating. I'm Rabbi Chaga, Bishim Rabbi Yossi, Mimnisha Machlida Masakarka, Umlakin Karkios of Shabor. So the Gemara gives the answer, which you probably guessed, and that is that you're right. The roots don't go up, the roots only go laterally. But what's going to happen now is that it's going to really compromise the integrity of the ground that the pit is right above, and it's going to be what the Gemara describes as machlid. Now, machlid is a term that you should remember. The Gemara in Chulin talks about machlid in the context of shechting, and Rashi over here notes. Rashi writes lashon chalada dehilcha shechita. Now, you remember there are five psulim when it comes to shechita. One of them is called chalada. What is chalada? So, if you remember, it's taking the knife, and what you're supposed to do with the knife is go from the front of the neck and back and forth. Going across the neck and basically cutting into the neck. Chalada is when you take the knife and you insert it into the neck and then you start cutting. So you're basically covering the knife with either the skin of the animal or you're putting it actually behind the esophagus, behind the trachea. Either way, in other words, it's basically covering of the knife. That's chalada. So Rashi says same basic idea over here, meaning what my roots are going to be doing is basically they're going to be undercutting your pit. They're going to be undercutting your pit, compromising the integrity of the ground, and it's going to harm you. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer, towards the bottom of Chaf Hamad Beis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afa Pisha Abor Kedemus Ilan Laikash Yezecho for Besoch Shalom, Vezer Noter Besoch Shalom. So, our Mishnah, probably the best view of the Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi regarding whose responsibility is it to distance themselves from whom, and to which I'm a reviewer, I'm a Shmuel Lachik Rav Yossi. So the Allah falls like Rav Yossi, that it's Al Hanizak Laharchik Es Atzmo, it is the Nizak's responsibility to distance himself, and basically I can could do what I want on my property. Now, I'm Rav Ashi Gavin, Abay Rav Kahana, Avarmina Moder Rav Yosef Begir today. But the Gemara over here says that even Rav Yosef Shita, which the Gemara says that's the halacha, even Rav Yosef Shita is that he will agree that if it's Giridi Day, if it's your arrows, so then even he will say that the Mazik should not do whatever he's doing on his property if he's basically shooting arrows in the direction of the other person. Now, shooting arrows, now again, shooting arrows in this context, again, let's just keep reminding ourselves. We're not talking about the Nezik of Baba Kama. We're talking about, basically, what can I do on my property, even though it's going to end up being offsetting to you. So, planting a tree, Rav Yossi says, sure. The roots are going to grow, but that's an eventuality. That's not an immediate reaction to me planting the tree. So Giridi Day basically is that if I'm doing something that has an immediate effect on you, even Rav Yossi will say that you cannot do that. Example. So Gemara is about to give us. Papa Yunai, Ani Ve'ashir Havi. So Papa Yunai started off poor in life, and then he became wealthy, and Havi Bane Apana, and he built himself a nice house. Okay, why? Normally the Gemara doesn't give us that much detail. Stay tuned. I will explain a little bit later on, in just a moment, why we have so much detail about his financial history. But anyway, right now, Papi Yunai built himself a nice house. And Havi Hanachasuri, Bishivavuse Dichavo, So the Gemara says that he had basically manufacturers of sesame seed and sesame seed oil, and what they would do is they would pound the sesame seeds and have a nade apadne. Now this factory, the sesame seed factory, was right next to his house, and every time they were pounding the sesame seeds, so it caused a reverberation, and literally he was feeling the shock in his house of the factory that was right next door. Also the Kamei de Rav Ashi, Amalek Yavan Bei Rav Kahana Avarmina Mo de Rav Yosi Begiri Delay. He goes to Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi says, oh, I know what the halacha is. Meaning, yes, we pass like Rav Yossi, and yes, everybody can do what they want on their property, but if it's Giri Delay, even Rav Yossi will agree that you can't do that. And this is a perfect example of Giri Delay, because over here, shock reverberation, that's immediate consequence of pounding the sesame seeds. So when you're causing vibration, so that's not a delayed Nezek, that's something happening right away. And as a result of that, Rav Ashi says, okay, so therefore, you can tell the sesame seed workers, find a new location, stop pounding the sesame seeds. In other words, you can get them to stop. It's legitimate. Vikama. So the Gemara says, now how much vibration? So we're going to try to quantify vibration over here. It's not going to be easy. So the Gemara gives us all but four words to try to quantify vibration. So the Kedenai Nachtama Apume Dechatzva. So the Gemara says, well, if the vibration is so strong that the lid of the pot gets blown off the pot because of the vibration, so the Gemara says that's too much. Now, I'll start with Rashi. Rashi says, Kedenai Nachtama Apume Dechatzva. Rashi says, Sheim Yanichu Kad Al Choma. So Rashi says, here's our measuring, our test measuring for the vibration. Take the pot, put it on a wall, right? Obviously the wall that's between our two properties. Put the lid on top of it, and if the vibration is such that it's causing the lid to fall off the pot, so that's too much. That's too much vibration. Now, if you're wondering, that sounds like a lot of vibration, right? For the lid to fall off a pot on the wall as they're pounding the sesame, that sounds like a lot. So you're not alone. Tosos says that's a lot. Meaning, that bar is way too high. Take a look at the top Tosas on the Amud. Apuma de Chatzva, Apia Kuntris, Apersha Kuntris, Kashilari, De Echiehe, Apana Nayakulehai, Ashin is Nandin, Anichlima, Dim Kain, Habais Karv Lipo. If we're talking about those kinds of vibrations where the lid of the pot is going to be falling off the pot as it's situated on top of the wall, the house is going to cave in based on these vibrations. In other words, and remember, says Tosos, he got wealthy. It's like nouveau riche. He just came into money, so he built himself a nice house. But there's no way that that house can withstand that kind of vibration. And using a Gemara in Shabbos, he basically makes the point that we're talking about a substantial house over here. So Tosos has a slight modification of what he believes is the accurate way to test for vibration. Not that it's put on the wall, but rather when you're holding the pot, and basically as you're holding the pot, if you see the lid shaking as you're holding the pot, so he thinks that's the measurement, the proper measurement for measuring vibrations. Okay, so basically trying to wrap our heads around how we quantify and we measure the vibrations. Right, they didn't have a Richter scale back in the good old days. So but that's gira delay. And even in the case of gira delay, Rav Yossi agrees that you're not allowed to do. And the Gemara gave us a story that gave us a perfect illustration of what is gira delay. Just going back for a moment, why did the Gemara give us the details regarding Papa Yunai that he was first poor and then he was wealthy? So go back to the previous summit to look at the Tosfos on the previous summit. And he writes, Rabusa Nakat. There's a chiddush over here in the fact that he was poor and then he became wealthy. Shayani velo ibaila suke daitayu shiibane ha'apadna. So now let's take it, Tosfos has such a good point. Let's take it from the perspective of the factory owners. Factory owners looked around when they, you know, when they were building their factory, and no neighbors really to worry about. Oh, yeah, there's a property next door to us that's owned by Papa Yunai, but he's not wealthy. He's not going to build himself anything nice over there. It's basically just going to be a property. And they were right. And then, but what they didn't know is that life happens, and that Papa Yunai got money, and then he built himself a house. So here, there's a chiddush because the sesame seed workers and the factory owner could have said, "I didn't see that coming." And when we built our factory, there was nobody next door, and afilo hachi who's kakula harchik mishum dahavi giridu. And even under such circumstances, they still have to distance himself because it still falls under the category of giri didu.
Why would he be responsible to pay for the expenses to remove the factory?
How
is it different from the tree that had to be uprooted because of the...
And he got reimbursed for the... Right, and he got reimbursed for the tree.
Right.
But the difference is that one I can handle. And the tree is not... The effects are not immediate. Here, the effects are immediate, meaning this is giri didu. The tree is not a case of giri didu. So that, from that standpoint, it's fine. But from the standpoint of just, I mean, think about what Tosfos is saying. It's a big chiddush. Meaning that when I built my factory, nobody was around. It was a safe area. And then somebody decided to build a house. And now I have to factor, you know, the ill effects of my factory, even though at the time when I built it, I was good. Okay. Obviously, Tosfos does provide for us a big chiddush. We are now in the very top of Chafavim and Aleph, Debei Bar Miryon. So another story says the Gemara, Berei de Ravin ki avanafti kisna. So he was combing the flax and have azle rakato maske inshe. Now whatever's coming off the flax, little bits of whatever that material is called, but it was damaging. It was sharp. It was small, and the chaff that comes off of it and it damaged people. And azle rakato maske inshe. And so it came off. The chaff came off, and with the help and the assistance of the wind, it blew onto some other people's property, and it damaged. Now, it's true, Rav Yossi does agree, giri delay. So again, you can do what you want on your property. And if there is a non-immediate effect that occurs to other people, that's not your problem. However, according to Rav Yossi, giri delay, if it's an immediate effect that adversely affects other people, so then even Rav Yossi will say you have to stop. So, I know all that, he says, but hani mila dekaz le mikocho. But that's only if it's coming as a direct result of his action. Again, we'll go back to the previous Gemara. Like the case of the vibration. That's an immediate effect of your actions. But hachaziku hu dekamamatele. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a wind. The wind is what assisted. And when the wind gives an assist, so that is this does not fall under the category of giri delay, and Rav Yossi would say that you're not liable. So maskev lamaber avashi maishna mizora v'rech messiah. So we know one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is zora. We just discussed this yesterday. We're going to discuss it again today. And the malach of zora is where you take the chaff, you throw it into the air, and the wind blows it. And this is a malach on Shabbos. So what the Gemara is essentially asking is, if it qualifies as a malach on Shabbos, so shouldn't it qualify also as nezik biyadayim, as damage that you're doing actively with your hands? So basically what the Gemara did is the following, and Rashi is going to point this out, and I'll point to the Rashi in just a second. The Gemara is making the jump from Hilchas Shabbos to Hilchas Nezek. That's what the Gemara just got done doing. So Amru kama de Mereimar, Amalu hainu zara v'ruch messiah. So when Mereimar was offered this idea, so he said, yeah, I see it. I see the connection. If you're going to be liable for Shabbos by doing the malacha of Zorah, where you can only do the malacha with the assistance of the wind, and yet it qualifies as a malacha, so then I also see this as being nezek b'yadayim in the case of the flax combers who are scraping away the chaff, and even though it's the wind that's blowing it, but I feel that there should be liable in such a case as well. So basically, Meremar says it's a good comparison. Ula Ravina Maishna Migetz. Now, as far as Ravina is concerned, how is it different? Now, what the Gemara didn't do is, the Gemara didn't explain how Ravina sidestepped the Shabbos question. Meaning, the Gemara is now going to attack Ravina from another point. But clearly, Ravina wasn't bothered by the Shabbos comparison. Rashi now points out, why didn't Ravina be moved by the Shabbos argument? I'm reading the Rashi. Ula Ravina Maishan Vechulei Bishlam Azara Viruch Masayiso Lo Havilei Pircha. Ravina was not bothered by the Shabbos question at all. Dikasavra Mamonim Yisr Shabbos Lo Yafinan. Because those are two different categories of halacha. One is a Shabbos halacha and the other is a Nezek halacha. And they don't necessarily overlap. Da'asam Malachas Machshavas Asr Torah. What is the guiding rule when it comes to Shabbos? The rules of Malachas Machshavas. You need a specific act patterned by what was done in the Mishkan, and then taking that action and applying it to now Shabbos. And okay, so there is a very specific way of obtaining a definition for Shabbos. And Rashi reminds us, this is not me creating a distinction. The Gemara and Baba Kama in the sixth perek makes exactly this distinction between you can't compare Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Nezek. Now it's interesting, the Gemara didn't articulate that point over here in Baba Basra, meaning in Baba Kama the Gemara made that point, the Gemara in Baba Basra didn't. Good, so we have Rashi that reminds us of what we learned back in Baba Kama. Ravina was not moved by this argument. The Gemara now is going to attack him from a different standpoint, and that is the following. Well, the Ravina Maishlami Gates, how is it different than the case of the blacksmith who is hitting down with his hammer and causing sparks? So again, let's remind each other what we learned back in Baba Kama. First of all, we know that there is a malacha what's called Eish, the fire, and if I start a fire and I spread the fire, so I'm going to be chayev. We learned also over there that if you have a smith who's hitting down and causing sparks to fly, so he's going to be chayev. Spark is basically ish, it's fire, and he's going to be chayev. So the Gemara now asks, basically, isn't this the same? Meaning we have the flax comers, they're basically scraping away the chaff, and the chaff is now going into other people's property and damaging other people. So I understand you're not moved by the Shabbos argument, right? You didn't like it. But over here, how is this different than a smith? So the Gemara says, and the sparks that are flying, Ula Ravina Maishna Migetz Hayotz Demitachas Apatish VeHizik DeChayiv LeShalem. In the case of the sparks, the smith is going to be liable to have to pay for the damages. Answers the Gemara, Hayotz Demitachas. I'm sorry, Hasam Nichale DeLezel Hachalo Nichale DeLezel. Gemara says that the difference is whether or not it's nichalei, whether he is happy with the consequences. In the case of the sparks flying, he's happy with the sparks flying elsewhere. Rashi over here says very succinctly, nichalei delezel, lachutz, shelo yidlak es beiso. If the sparks stay indoors, so what's going to happen is it's going to light his house on fire. So he wants the sparks to travel elsewhere. So since he's basically taking something which he knows is damaging, and he's moving it to another location, so therefore he's going to be liable. Over here, we're talking about the chaff of the flax. In of itself, they're not really that damaging. If the chaff lands on his own property, it's not going to really mind that much. So the fact that the wind is now blowing it into another person's property, so you're not going to be chayav for such damages. Okay. The
the sparks, it comes from the force of the...
And by the calming, it comes from the force.
But the other one, it comes from the wind.
Both. It's a combination. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara made the distinction between the case of the sparks and the case of the flax in terms of nicha lei. Let's take a... Quick look over here at Tosfos. Again, where Tosfos is bothered by a pretty basic issue. What we just learned together is that in the case of the flax, where they were combing the flax, so the wind goes and pushes it along, and essentially what Ravina says is that you're not chayiv. Again, Maremar liked the, said that you are chayiv because he felt that the Shabbos comparison is a legitimate comparison, but obviously Ravina did not feel the comparison is not good, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv. Tosfos over here is bothered by a really simple and fundamental question. Generally speaking, how does fire work? Meaning, when I say fire, I don't mean the chemical reaction of fire. I'm talking about the liability of fire. You start a fire in your property, and the wind goes and spreads it into someone else's property. And therefore, you're going to be liable. So basically, every case of fire has an assistance of wind, and you're going to be liable. The Gemara over here says, well, it's the wind that pushed, and therefore you're not going to be liable. In fire, that's exactly how you're going to be liable. So how is it different? Kasha Lari, second Tosfos on the Amud. Delechai Mishamesh, I think you should be liable, says Tosfos. How is this different than fire? And Tosfos says, I'm going to remind you that fire is an av. It's a main category. Meaning that to be chayiv eish, it doesn't have to necessarily be a fire. It has to be something that has the same properties as fire. So, for example, the Gemara Baba Kama says that if I have a rock, or a knife, or a rock, or some sort of large item sitting on the top of a roof, and a normal wind comes and blows it into harming somebody or harming somebody's property, I'm going to be liable based on the fact that characteristically it follows that of fire. I know I read all that very quickly, but basically Tosfos says in here, I know we're talking about a regular wind. We're not talking about an extraordinary wind. So basically, question. Here, this should be Eish. I'm combing the flax. The chaff of the flax now is going to someone else's property based on the wind. The Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that if I put something dangerous out there and the wind blows into somebody else's property and damages, you're going to be chayiv. So over here, shouldn't you be chayiv?
It's not identical.
Okay, va'omari, it needs a distinction, so Tosfos is going to offer one. Va'omari, delo dami, le'esh. De'ein chayiv mishum esh ela kesha'asa ha'adam esa esh levado. So Tosfos makes the following supposition. When you have the liability for esh, that's because first and foremost you created the fire. Meaning you created something which is damaging. And then the wind picks it up and moves it. In other words, but the starting point is you made esh. And then what the wind is doing is it's picking up and taking it. But you started with something which in of itself is inherently damaging. But over here, the chaff that comes off the flax is only damaging because of the wind's assistance. Because without the wind, there wouldn't be this damaging effect of basically just the particles that are coming off of the linen. Right. So Tosfos says that is what he understands to be the fundamental difference between the malacha, the av malacha, I don't mean malacha meaning Shabbos, but the av nezek, that's a better way to say it, the av nezek of Eish versus what we're discussing over here, which he feels is not going to follow in the same pattern. Okay. We're in the Mishnah in the middle of Chavav Amanav Lo Yita Adam Ilan Samach Lesada Chaver Alein Kain Hirchuk Mimenu Arba Amos. Now, previously we were talking about a tree and a pit. And again, the pit's filled with water, and my roots are going to navigate and find themselves to my neighbor's roots. So therefore, we were talking about distances of 25 Amos, 50 Amos. Over here, just simply talking about contiguous properties, and just simply how much distance I have to have my tree from the borderline. When there is no pit here involved in this discussion. The Mishnah tells us very simply, Lo Yita Adam Ilan Samach Lesada Chaver Aleim Ken Hirchag Mimenu Arba Amos. Four amos is the distance you need. Why four amos? Stay tuned. We're going to see that in the Gemara. Echad gefanim ve'echad kol ilan, and it's true by vines. It's true by trees. Four amos. Hayya gedem tayin. Now, once there's a wall, zeh samech legedem ikan, zeh samech legedem ikan. So now I could put the tree right up against the wall, and there I don't need a four amos distance. So clearly, the four amos has something to do with the fact that there's no wall there. We're going to explain. Now, my roots go into my neighbor's property. So what is my neighbor allowed to do? So now he can dig into his property three tvachim deep so that the next time that he plows with his plow, it doesn't get tangled up in the roots and he doesn't have to break his plow over my roots. So he basically can cut my roots, any roots that are within three tfachim of the surface. Now, if I decide I want to dig a pit, so I'm allowed to dig a pit, and what about the roots of my neighbor? That's fine. I get to cut them. And v'ha'etzim shelo. And the roots belong to him. Now, with a pronoun, it's, you know, you always get stuck on these pronouns. So the roots belong to him. Who's him? There are two people here that the roots can belong to. Either the roots can belong to the person who's digging the pit, or the roots can belong to the owner of the tree, who is on the other side of the borderline of the property line. So the Mishnah over here is not perfectly clear, and Rashi foreshadows that this will be a discussion in the Gemara. Tana, we start with the first point of our Mishnah, and that is that when I plant a tree on my property, it's got to be four amos from the property line. Why? Tana arba amos she'amru kedei avodas hakerem. And the answer is because when I work my field, I need room to maneuver around the tree and around the vineyard. How much room do I need? Four amos. And so therefore, if I plant my tree right up against the property line, so when I work my tree, my plow is now going to go into my neighbor's property. We don't want that. So basically, I have to factor that in, and therefore I have to recess my tree four amos into my property so that when I go around with my mower and all whatever other equipment I'm using to work it, so I'll still be within my property. So four amos. So Shmuel says, okay, that's an Eretz Yisrael, but here in Bavel, it's only going to be two amos. What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel? Rashi succinctly writes, Shema Charishtan Kitzara. Our plows are smaller. Okay. So it's a very ukimta oriented explanation of the Gemara, meaning no lumdus, nothing conceptual. It's just we operate with smaller plows, so therefore we only need two amos of room to work. And presumably, again, I don't want to go too far with this Rashi, but presumably, if an Eretz Yisrael they cut their plows in half and they operate with smaller plows, so then presumably then the shear gets smaller. Okay, Tanya Namihach, the Gemara quotes a price as well. Lo yita adam ilan samach l'sadeh chaver alim kenirchak mimenish te amos. So the Gemara quotes a price, and they're saying it's two amos. V'anan tanan arba amos. Now that goes against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said four amos el alav kidishmol shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay, and so therefore basically what we now know is that Shmuel's right, is that sometimes it's four, sometimes it's two, and according to Rashi's explanation, it's just simply a function of how big the plow is. Igidaramele mirma. Now the Gemara is going to quote the same question and answer just by simply pitting the Mishnah against the Braisa. Just same information, different format. Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. Lo yita adam ilan samach l'sadeh chaver alim kinirchik mimeno arba amos. V'atayin shtei amos. Mishnah says four amos. Braisa says two amos. Amos Shmuel lo kasha. Kam be'bavel, kam be'Eretz Yisrael. The difference is between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Rava bar Rav Chanan havelu hanidik le'am mitzvah de pardesa de Rav Yosef. Rava had palm trees right at the border of the orchard of Rav Yosef. Havo asa tzipora yasve bedik. So there were these birds that went up to the palm tree and then went down to the pardes of Rav Yosef and caused a loss for Rav Yosef. Amar le zilkots. So now Rav Yosef turns to his neighbor Rava and he says, enough. Enough already with the birds coming from your palm trees into my pardes. You cut your palm tree. Amar le v'harachikuli. So to which Rava says back to Rav Yosef, I'm at a safe distance. I followed the ruling of the Mishnah. Mishnah says that when you plant, you have to recess four amos into your property. I did exactly that. What do you want from me? So he says, okay, but That's by trees. But by Gefundim, it's got to be even more. And apparently, it was Gefundim. It was a vine. Right? The Pardes, I explained earlier, was an orchard. Okay, that wasn't accurate. Pardes over here is a vineyard. Rashi said that. So anyway, but because I'm planting my vineyard, so you got to be even further back. So again, Rava says, I also know the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a four amas have to be recessed, whether we're talking about trees or whether we're talking about vines. I'm good. To which Rav Yosef said, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. When it's min bimino, when it's tree to tree, when it's vine to vine, so then four amas is all you need. But if you have your trees, which is your palm trees, and I have my vine, so it has to be at a greater distance. Okay. And why should that be different? I'm not sure. But anyway, this is how Rav Yosef felt that this is a proper reading of the Mishnah. And then he was telling his neighbor, Rava, you got to back off. You got to back up your tree. Now, back up your tree, by the way, that's obviously ridiculous, meaning that's not how trees work. Can't just simply back it up. It would mean that basically Rav would have to cut it down. Amar le ana lo kaitzina. So Rava says to Rav Yosef, look, you tell me I have to cut down my tree. You tell me that's the halacha. I got another issue. I'm just simply not cutting down my tree. It's a fruit tree. I'm not cutting it down. The Amar Rav Haidikla Detayin Kava Aser Lemikse. Rav taught us back in Bar Mitzvah that if your fruit tree is producing a kava fruit, so then you cannot cut it down. It violates the rule of Baal Tashchis. You cannot destroy fruit trees. So I'm simply not cutting it down. So V'amar Rav Chanina lo shachiv shichachas bri, and the Gemara reminds us again also what we learned back then is that my son shichachas did not die. This is what Rabbi Chanina says, Ella dekatz teinesai below zamne. But what I did is I cut a fig tree down. I cut it down prematurely, meaning before the tree itself died. I cut it down while it was still able to produce figs, and as a result, so my son died. So there is a halachic, reason why I can't cut down the tree, and there are very significant ramifications in doing so. So Rav said to Rav Yosef, look, you tell me the halacha is I need to cut down my tree, I'm just not going to cut down my tree, it's a fruit tree. Mar inicha leilekos. So Rav says to Rav Yosef, look, you feel that my tree should get cut down, you cut it down. But I'm not going to cut down my own tree. Okay. Story stops over here, so I cannot tell you what happened next. What's the next chapter in the story, in the sequence? I don't know. I don't know where we go from here.
Could he have gone over in his field and cut a tree? Did the guy said come and do it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, presumably. Meaning the invitation from Rebbe to Rav Yosef.
It's mostly a case where somebody, you're allowed to break my article.
I guess. I mean, it's meaning, it sounds like from the Gemara that once Rava gave permission to Rav Yosef to do so, Rav Yosef would do it. But again, I don't know. The Gemara doesn't give us any more. Okay, next. Apparently, Rav Yosef felt that, look, there's an issue in Baal Tashchis, but like we've said many times, Baal Tashchis is when you're destroying something for no reason. Over here, Rav Yosef felt that there's a very good reason in doing so. It's causing damage. Rav Papa had these date trees, palm trees, date trees, right at the border of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So he sees now that he is digging, and he's digging in, and he's cutting into the roots of the tree. So Amar Lei my high. So Rav Papa asks a very simple question: what on God's earth are you doing? like what's going on over here? Like I know you're cutting into your own property, but you're cutting the roots of my tree. You're destroying my tree. Please stop. So I'm relate to Nana. So again, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says to Rav Papa, look, our Mishnah. We learned this together. Our Mishnah says that you are allowed to cut roots that are going into your property, anything 3 tefachim from the surface, so that my machareish, my plow doesn't get destroyed, I'm good. I'm following the Mishnah. So I'm relay. So again, Rav Papa, I say again because this is just like the previous story, where basically you have the Amorayim who are arguing with one another, and now also arguing over Pshat and the Mishnah. So here too, you have now Rav Papa arguing with Rav Huna, and they're also arguing over the Pshat and the Mishnah. So Amrali Hanim Lishol Shemarka Chafer Tvei. So he says, now that here, Rav Papa says, we're not arguing over Pshat and the Mishnah, we're arguing over depth. The Mishnah says 3 tefachim. I'm looking right over our right over my property into your property. That's a lot deeper than 3 tefachim. Like, come on. So Amrali Anabar Shekhanamaros Kacharfana. So Rav Huna says back to Rav Papa, no, again, I'm good. Because, again, I'm going to point to the same Mishnah. Remember what the Mishnah said? That if you decide that you want to dig a pit, so you can dig a pit. And obviously a pit allows you to go much deeper than 3 tefachim into the ground. And so that's what I'm doing. Tanan. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hayachofer Borshich Asiachum Ara, Kotit Viyard Vaitim Shalom. And the wood belongs to him. Now again, we haven't clarified who the him is, but right now that's not our issue. Our issue right now is very simple. The Mishnah provides allowance to dig into the ground. Amra Papa Amrile Kula Veloyachile. So Rapapa kept trying to stop him from digging into the ground. Lo Yachlile. But he basically couldn't convince him otherwise. Ad de Amrilei, had de Amr of Yehuda. And then finally he reminds them of a comment made by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Adam Rav Yehuda, Meitzer Sheikhzikal Barab and Masala Kalkalon. So when you have a Meitzer, when you have a path, and the public made usage of the path, so that's it. You cannot, you can't take away the public's path. And basically, I've had this tree here for a very long time. And basically, there's a certain chazaka. Now again, chazaka over here, like, not ownership chazaka, but a usage chazaka. Like, I've had this tree here for a very long time. And now, you want to go ahead and just simply just card and dig into your ground and cut the roots of my tree? Like, come on. So, Basa the Nafak Amar. Now, after he left, meaning after Rav Papa left, so Rav Huna now kind of kicks himself and says, oh, I missed an opportunity. Basta denafik amr, amaylo amri adkan besoch shesh esre amma, kan chutzo shesh esre amma. We're going to learn in just a moment that there's a distinction to be made between within 16 ammas and outside 16 ammas. Basically, the idea is, we'll see this in the Gemara coming up, but let's say the idea right now, that the roots that are 16 ammas from the base of the tree, from the trunk of the tree, that is basically shaykh to the tree. Anything beyond 16 amas no longer has a real shaykhus to the tree. Obviously still connected. Obviously physically part of the tree. But from a halachic standpoint, it doesn't do anything. So, and therefore, the owner of the tree can't make claim to it. And look at the Rashi, B'soch Shesh Esrei Amah, Le'ilan Havya Chazaka. The Ilan, Avachutzah Shesh Esrei Amah, In Cheskaso Chazaka. She'afa B'shashar of Mispashtin, Kafe Amah. So, yes, it's true that the roots go extend even as much as 25 Amas, as we learned earlier this morning. Einan Yonkin, Ela B'soch Tazayin Amah, Samach Le'ilan. The Yanika, in other words, its nourishment, meaning for the survival of the tree itself only needs 16 of those amas of roots. Kedamin lakaman va'ananu chutzah tazayin amah kaitzina. And Rav Huna, realizing after Rav Papa left and after he lost the argument, oh, he was digging his hole and it was greater than 16 amas away from the tree. So yes, he was cutting away at the roots, but those roots weren't necessary for the survival of the tree. And once Rav Papa left, Rav Huna kicked himself and said, oh, I missed an arguing point. It happens to me all the time, but maybe because I'm just a little bit slower, but you always think about what you could have said well after the conversation has come to an end. Okay, at least that's my experience. Sorry. Hayachofer borsiach amara kotzes v'yar v'etzim shalom. Ba'amine Yaakov hadaiba me'rav chis v'etzim shalmi. Okay, so now we're asking a simple question, and that is, we learned in the Mishnah that if you wanted to go on the ground and your neighboring tree's roots are going through the hole, so you can keep digging and just cut away at the roots, and the roots belong to him. So again, an ambiguous pronoun. We don't know who it's referencing, and that needs clarification. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to try to do now, try to clarify. Like, who are we talking about? So Amalei Tanisua. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll show you a Mishnah, and the Mishnah from Me'ila seems to indicate who it belongs to. Sharsha Ilan Shel Hajot Habayim B'Shel Hekdesh Lo Nenim V'Lo Ma'olin. So if I have the roots of a tree that belongs to a layman, meaning not the Beis Hamikdash, and it's going into property that belongs to Hekdesh, so you cannot get benefit from it. But Lo Ma'olin, but there is no Isser of Me'ila on such roots. So meaning it does not have Kedusha. And E Amart Bishlam Abasa Ilan Azlina Mishum Hachila Mo'alin. And if you want to tell me that it's because it's following the tree, so then that's good. Meaning that's why there's no Isra Me'ila. Elai Amar Basa Karka Azlinan. But if we're following the ground that it's the root is running through, Amaila Mo'alin. Why shouldn't there be Me'ila? So Elamai. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're trying to make the argument now that the Mishnah Me'ila says that there is no Isser of Me'ila as the roots are going through the ground, which means that it's shaykh to the tree, not shaykh to the ground. So Basar Ilan Azlina, so the Gemara says, okay, so you want to tell me that the roots follow the tree. The Gemara says, but I'm just going to simply point to the very same Mishnah Me'ila, where now the conclusion seems to be just the opposite. We're having now the tree that comes from Hekdesh, meaning the tree itself belongs to Hekdesh, and now its roots are tunneling through and going into property that's Hejot, not Hekdesh. Lo Nanin v'lo Mo'alin. So now there's no Isser of Me'ila. And E, Basar Ilan Azlina Amaylo Mo'alin, Mi De'iria. I'm sorry, Amaylo Mo'alin. So the Gemara says, now, if we're connecting the root back to the tree, if the tree's Hekdesh, well then the root should be Hekdesh. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says, Lo Mo'alin. So the Gemara says, so what have we just learned together? That the roots don't necessarily follow the tree. Now, obviously, the first part of the Mishnah seems to indicate just the opposite, that the roots do follow the tree. Me, De'iria, the Gemara says, well, I'm not really sure if you pointing to the second half of that Mishnah Me'ila really teaches us anything. So one approach, says the Gemara, is that, look, when you have a tree and you're a Makdish tree, you sanctify the tree, and the tree now belongs to Hekdesh. Now, obviously, there's going to be future growth. What is the status of future growth? A debate. But the one way we could respond to the Mishnah Me'ila is that we could say that the Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint that any future growth after the Hekdesh, it does not belong to Hekdesh. But rather, it's kind of like new entity, and therefore does not have automatic Kedusha. Okay, that's one approach. Ravina Amar Lokasha Kan B'Toch Shesh Esrei Ama Kan Chutz L'Shesh Esrei Ama. But the Gemara says also we can go with another approach, and this is the approach that we mentioned earlier, and that is within or without 16 Amas. And again, we'll go back to what we said earlier. The roots that are 16 Amas from the base of the tree, from the trunk of the tree, they are necessary for the tree. And therefore, they are part and parcel of the tree, have the same status of the tree. That which is beyond 16 amos, that which is beyond 16 amos, is no longer considered part and parcel of the tree. And so therefore, even though the Mishnayos of Me'ila, or I should say rather the Mishnah Me'ila, seems to be reflecting two different standpoints, the distinction could be made that any root that's within 16 amos is part of the tree, and therefore is going to have the same status, and that which is beyond 16 amos is not part of the tree, and therefore will take on the status of the ground that it is in. Okay. Let's stop over here. Well, tomorrow we have a short Amud Aleph. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Anyway, we start with the linear measurements. I'll do the linear measurements tomorrow. Okay. Let's just quickly recap. We started with a mission today about distancing your tree from your neighbor. If your neighbor has a pit, so then the distance has to be upwards of 25 to 50 amas, depending on the type of the tree. If you planted your tree before the pit, you're good. If you planted your tree after the pit, after your neighbor already has the pit in the ground, so your tree needs to get cut down. Although, as we discussed in the very beginning of today's shiur, you are going to get reimbursed for your tree. It's an interesting point. We discussed that briefly. Then the big part of today's daf was the discussion of, first of all, the halachas like Rav Yossi. I can do it on my property, you can do it on your property. And in terms of who needs to be more cautious, the Nizak needs to be more cautious than the Mazik. But the Gemara points out that Rav Yossi will agree by Gira Delay. And what is the definition of Gira delay in the context of this discussion? Gemara gives us a very concrete example this morning: vibration. If I'm doing something which is causing a reverberation, that's Gira delay. Even Rav Yossi would say that there it becomes a mazik's responsibility to stop. How we discussed people who are combing flax and the wind blowing it into other people's property. That is a debate amongst the Amoraim whether or not you're going to be liable or not. Can we make a comparison to Shabbos and Zohar? Some Amoraim say yes, some Amoraim say no. We had a very basic discussion this morning. How is this different than the Av of Eish? Tosus over here gives us a very fundamental rule that by Eish you start the fire and then the wind sends it, as opposed to over here where you didn't create a damaging entity. And then the rest of today's daf, we talked about the necessity to recess trees 4 amos so that the plow can go in. If they're shorter plows, so then the shorter distance from the border. And then debates between the Amoraim, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yosef, and who was arguing with Rav Yosef and Rav Yosef and Rava. So various Amoraim who were a border, who were neighbors with one another, and they were arguing about whether or not they should cut a tree down or not cut a tree down. An issue of cutting a fruit tree down, the Gemara also raised today. And we concluded today by pointing out that there could be a very basic difference between the first 16 amas of root and anything after that.